Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of May 30th. I'm John Gibson, and a smiling and dancing and happy Jim Allen is with me on a Sunday morning early. What's happening, man? What's got you so excited? You're happy because you're talking about me. No, wait, it's the San Jose Sharks. No, wait, you're just happy to talk about baseball.
No, I'm just, it's a beautiful day and excited about this show.
Every day is a beautiful day, man. Every
day. Yeah, every day you wake up is a beautiful day.
You don't sound convinced, but anyway.
Well, when I don't, I'll tell you.
Okay. All right, on this week's show, we've got an interview with Vladimir Coco Ballantine of the Swallows. We're going to talk about Yakult. We got Interleague starting, and we also have some great listener questions, so let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so Coco Ballantine of the Swallows, a historic figure who speaks a bushel of languages. I'm always so amazed at how well he speaks English. Of course, he's not a native English speaker. I got to talk to him on Wednesday at the outdoor facility, or the indoor facility. We were right halfway between outdoor and indoor, actually, at Kingdom Stadium.
You were in the door?
The smoking room.
Ah.
So basically, you're inside, but you're exposed to things, so. Exposed to stuff. But Coco, you know, he's not yet part of the past. He famously crushed pitches in 2013 and broke Sadaharu Oh's single-season home run record, hitting 60 that year. But since then, he has been beset by injuries, while his team rebounded for a CL title last year, basically without him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's made a number of appearances on JBW in the past, and he's always fun, and this chat is no different. I talked to him the night after he struck out in a really disappointing at-bat against the Hanshin Tigers against Fujikyu, I like to call him. And that was in the eighth inning with the bases loaded and no one out, and they ended up losing this game. And you know, it's hard to go. I always feel like it's hard to talk to guys about games after they've had a bad experience the night before, or even, you know, even a good experience. They don't want to talk about it. They always want to put things behind them. But, you know, he's a happy-go-lucky guy. He didn't mind talking about it. And we didn't talk about that in the interview, but I did talk to him on Wednesday, and he homered twice that night, and he homered again the next day. It seems like a lot of guys hit home runs when I talk to him.
I have that. I had that with Tony Blanco for a while, and a number of guys, Randy Ruiz and Luis and Ernesto Mejia.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but it happens because you go to the park and people hit home runs. You know, I think that's the connection.
Plus, they're power hitters. Yeah. So it was his 24th multi-homer game, and that he passed Alex Ramirez for most in club history.
Wow.
In that department. And he has tied for the league lead, the Central League lead in home runs with 15. And that ties in with little Tetsuto Yamada.
Don't call him little, man. He's got a bat.
Don't call him little. He's holding the big stick. All right. But, you know, Coco has a lot of things to say about a few areas. And he even talks about the team. So let's hear what he has to say. All right, I'm here with Coco Ballantine of the Yakult Swallows. Thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me with you.
All right, now, how are you? That's the first question. You had a lot of injuries in the off season. Your head was broken. Your foot was broken. Your knee was off.
Yeah, man. You know, I had a tough last year, you know, all around. But I'm glad all that's in the past, and I just focus forward now. I mean, I'm feeling good. I'm healthy, and I'm just continue to take care of my body and just try to focus in the future and let all the bad stuff in the past.
Now, I know you had operation in the off season and all that stuff. You look a little bit thinner now. What did you do to lose weight, or did that just happen?
No, I mean, I just try to take care a little bit more of my body. You know. I gain a lot of weight, and after my surgery, I gain more weight because I wasn't able to run for at least two months. So, and it wasn't not good for my Achilles because I had Achilles surgery before my sport in you. So I was hurting my Achilles, my weight, so I had to, you know, control that and try to keep my body fit. So it provided me to get injured again, too.
To prevent, yeah, okay. Now, a lot of people look at the 60-homer season, and they say, where is that guy? Where is that guy?
That guy is right here, man. I mean, I ain't going nowhere. I mean, the past, last year isn't the past. You know, this year I'm healthy. I'm doing very good job this year. I'm hitting good. Definitely, you know, 60 home run is something that nobody can hit it 2-3 times in the road. It's impossible. You can count the guy that did it once, you know. So it's hard to hit 60 home run, but I mean, I'm still out there doing my best, hit my home runs here and there, and you know, try to make my team better.
What are your expectations for the season? A lot of people would just at least like to see another home run title, see you stay healthy enough to compete for the home run title.
Of course. I mean, I'm in a situation right now where, you know, a lot of people expect a lot of things from me because I missed whole last year, you know, and but I'm not trying to put pressure on myself, you know. I just try to, you know, improve every day. I try to be a better player every day, a better teammate every day, and help my team in any aspect of the game if I can, you know, because not all the time you can win a home run you can win a game with a home run, you know. Sometimes you got to do those little things, but at the end of the season, we will see, man. It will be great to have another home run title under the belt.
Okay. Now, what's happening with the Swallows? They won the Central League title last year, and this year it seems like things are not falling together well. What's happening?
Well, you know, things are tough right now, you know. We're going through a tough situation right now. Things is not going the way we want to, you know. I think we just need to play better. In general, start from pitching all the way to hitting to defense. So things that happen in baseball, you know, every team go to this kind of street. But I mean, all around we just need to play better.
All right, now I'm looking across the entire league, and you know, Kenta Maeda has gone to the United States and he's playing over there. But how's the talent level around the Central League?
You know, Maeda left, so he was one of the, you know, one of the top pitchers here. But I mean, you still have a couple tough pitchers still in the league, like Sugano. You got Johnson. You got Ujinami. You know, you still have a couple good talents around the league that you can tell right now that beside us, everybody playing very close, so it's a very decent competition going on all around right now, I guess.
Now, what about the pitching? I just see a lot of, like, bullpens. In fact, you were involved in a bullpen beating, let's call it. You homered off of Fukutani and Nagoya, and then your team came back and rallied, and there's been a lot of comeback wins for teams. What's going on with the bullpens in the Central League?
Well, I can tell you what's going on with it, but I think this year the team are better hitting wise. You can tell. I mean, every team this year is hitting very well. So I think and they coming from behind, and like we come a lot of time from behind too. So probably it's just those tough moment, you know, where the bullpen has to go to the tough order of the lineup, and sometimes it's not able to get it done, and you know, you had those things happen that they blow the lead or something like that.
I think scoring seems to be going up in both leagues. I'm going to ask Jim to do a statistical check of it, but it seems like the scoring is up now. Why do you think that is?
Well, like I say, it's bad. All the teams are having better hitters now. I'm not saying anything with the ball because I think it's very fair. The ball is very fair right now. It's not jumping too much and it's not bad. So I think it's fair, you know. So I think it's just better hitter all around the league right now.
All right, now Tetsuto Yamada.
Not a big guy.
One of the thousand questions.
Not a big guy, but he is really, really, he looks like major league material. What do you see when you look at him?
Well,
for his future?
If I tell you this, probably a lot of people think I probably, maybe yourself going to think I'm lying to you, but what everybody's seeing right now, it's what I see in this kid when he was 19, when I first see him come up to the Ichigan team, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he went through, he was young, he wasn't understanding the game, you know, but I see in him what all the stuff he's doing right now. So, and I talked to the guys, and I say, I like this guy. He had a lot of talents, but, you know, he just had to grow up a little bit, put everything together. And, you know, the last couple of years, he get more mature. He understand the game of baseball. He understand hitting. And it's not surprising me what he's doing right now. I think right now he's the number one hitter in Japan, one of Japanese best hitters, I think, so far right now.
What would you see him playing in the United States?
You know, I play with him every day, you know, like he's going to the States, you know. But, you know, he's young right now. He don't know what he want yet. But I see him as a second baseman, number three hitter in the big leagues too, you know. Maybe a number two hitter in the big leagues. But I see future in the big leagues too. But it all depends on him, you know. He's still young. So a lot of things can happen, you know. But I will be happy to see him, you know, take his talent to the next level.
Okay. All right. Interleague is going to start soon. You're going to have to play those really tough teams over there, like the Hawks and the Lotte Marines are really doing well. How do you guys compete with that league?
You know, it's what, 21 game, 23 game? I don't remember how much game we're going to play against the interleague. I mean, they had better pitchers, better bullpens. It's a couple good team over there, but, you know, you got to give credit to your team too, you know. I think we're a very good team, and we're going to go compete, and I hope we can have better results this year in the interleague than we did in the past.
All right, man. Take care of yourself, and good luck.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate it too, man.
All right, man.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Valentin. It's good to hear you, although I hear you often. It's good to actually sit and listen to you talk.
Yeah, I think he talked about being in shape and everything, and I saw pictures on, you know, during the off season, and he had blown up. He had really blown up.
Wow.
So for him to be at the weight where he is, where you can obviously tell he's slimmer. I won't say that he's slim, but he's slimmer than he was. You can tell that he has really done a lot of weight work to get into shape. So what stood out for you during the chat?
Well, I guess you mean other than him happy to be healthy and not being as big. I guess his comments about the Swallows were kind of harsh.
Harsh, you say?
Well, you know, I look at the Swallows. I'm just going to go straight into some stuff about the Swallows. I mean, the Central League is so compacted right now, as it was last year, that people are, you know, almost any comment about any team's place in the standings, I just want to just drown it out or blot it out or muffle it out or whatever one does to get that stuff out of your head. Because my coworker yesterday was saying, oh, the Giants are fifth place. I said, yeah, but they're like a tenth of a game out of first place.
I know. I've had to quell that talk at the office. In fact, a couple weeks ago, they were saying the Giants, they're back into first place. And I'm like, there is no first place right now. There's just,
yeah, it's just the sixth grade of last, or the, you're in first grade, you're in first place, fifth grade.
It's the 50 shades of the Central League is what it is.
Something like that. So anyway, I was thinking about what he said about Yakult, and I'm thinking, well, let's see, where did he start? The hitting's bad, the pitching's bad, the fielding's bad. Is that accurate, you think?
I don't know that he said bad.
Okay.
Needs more attention.
Well, they do need more attention, to be honest. I mean, that's professional attitude. Everything always needs attention. It's just a matter of, you know, what needs more, I guess. But I think the fielding actually has been pretty good. The addition of Tomotaka Sakaguchi in center field has really stabilized things. A lot of things going well for the team. I think Keiji Obiki looks years younger this year.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing like somebody told him he was 25 and he believes it. So
I don't think he hit as well as he's hitting right now over any stretch of 25.
No. Well, he did have a stretch with Oryx where
I know, but
I'm saying that the defense has been is better than probably a couple of teams in NPB. It's probably about two teams. I think the Hawks, obviously, and the Fighters and the Bay Stars are better. But anyway, so I like the Swallows' defense. Now, the problem, which is if they're spending a lot of attention or paying a lot of attention to the hitting and the fielding is probably not going to be a real productive effort, because the problem ain't the hitting or the fielding. The problem is the pitching. They're walking guys. They're giving up the most home runs in NPB. When the ball's in play is when they're lucky. Because the guys catch them.
Yeah.
It's when they don't get the ball in play that they're in trouble.
Well, yeah. Well, getting back to what he said, I think the comments for me about Tetsuto Yamada, he actually made similar comments before in a JBW chat, going as far as to say he could play in the major leagues. But this time he said, hey, look, I see him as a guy who could start at second base and bat third.
Mm.
And I thought that was very high praise from a guy who's a former major league player, who's been over there, who knows what it takes, and actually bat third, because, you know, the high regard we have for our number three hitters in the States, and we say your best hitter needs to be in that spot and blah, blah, blah. I thought that was extremely high praise for – I'm sorry?
A lot of blah, blah, blah there.
A lot of blah, blah, blah there. Yes, I know. But I thought that was extremely high praise for a guy who's not that big. I mean, he's tall. Yamada's tall, and he could probably put some more meat on the frame.
Definitely. I think when he's 26, 27, he's probably going to be about in maybe 90 kilos or something.
Yeah. So I thought about it, and I thought, well, I'm not sure the power transfers to the major league level, but it's all about the ballpark, you know, whatever ballpark he's in. If he's in a San Diego type place, maybe he gets a lot of gaps, but he's not going to get a lot of home runs. Same if he's in a I always go to the National League West, don't I?
No, I'm just listening to what you're saying.
But if he plays in a place like Boston and he's banging balls off the Green Monster all the time, and you know, he could get a lot of extra base hits that way too. So, I mean, it just depends. I think it's a lot of context for him in terms of that. But I thought that was really high praise, batting third in the major leagues.
Well, I thought about that too, and I was thinking, I did my first story on Yamada in just 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's just like player of the month. I should go talk and see who this guy is, and when he was really shy. And the best stuff I got was from Mitsuru Monaka, who's now his manager, who was at that time the Swallows batting coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, I managed him in the farm team. And, you know, when we first drafted him, which is another story I'll get to. When we first drafted him, what we really liked was his bat speed. And of course, there's two things about bat speed. I've mentioned it before. One is that, you know, having a quick bat,
mm-hmm.
like Ichiro, and having a fast bat, like Brad Eldred.
Mm-hmm.
They're two different things.
Right.
So he's got them, but he's one of those players who seems to have them both, in that he can hold back and still generate a lot of bat speed. I've said that before, so that's not new. But I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about what a Hawks pitcher said last year in the Japan series, that, you know, I could see what the Swallows hitters were sitting on because of what, you know, their reactions to pitches. Everybody except Yamada.
Right.
Because he'd just wait for the pitch to get there, and then he'd smoke it.
Right. Essentially, I guess he wasn't tipping his bat.
He wasn't cheating on the fastball, basically. You know, when you threw a fastball, he wasn't giving the game away. So they had no clue. So I think, in retrospect, and the other comment about whether, you know, he's going to go to the majors, of course, I think so too. And I think he'll be a really good player. And I think it's very interesting, your perception and his perception. is really interesting to me. I'm closer to what Vladimir said, because I think when you look at what he's doing now, you're looking at what he's doing against NPB pitching. You know, and you see, this swing, these pitches, but the pitches are different over there, which is a thing he needs to adjust to. I think if he went now, and again, I'll say this again, if he goes to the majors this year,
right,
this autumn, I think, yes, number three hitter. But because he's young enough to make those adjustments, you know, his bat's fast enough. He can, you know, he can find that extra gear. He's got room to grow into it. His muscle memory is, you know, at full, you know, full speed.
Mm-hmm.
His ability to adjust is at full speed. If he goes when he's 27, which is the most likely scenario, and all of a sudden he's facing a lot of guys who are sitting 98 miles an hour, it's going to take adjustments. Now he's going to have to start cheating on more and more fastballs, and he ain't going to be a number three. He's going to be a guy who hits to the gaps. Okay. If he went now, he'd be the guy that Coco sees. And I think if he goes at the age of 27, he'll be the guy that you see.
He's 23 now. So you think,
yeah.
So 27, three plus seasons, three more years.
Yeah.
And then make the move. So, okay.
If I were the Swallows, I'd post him this year. I'd post him this year and take the $20 million that we don't have to pay him.
obviously, you know, Coco said he doesn't know what he wants right now, and he's still young and he's not thinking about that stuff. But I'm sure the teams in the States are looking at him with an eye to get him over there as soon as possible.
Well, sure,
Scott. Could you imagine him in Colorado?
Well, Colorado's changed quite a lot since they put the balls in whether the deep freeze or whatever it is they do now. But, to me, the ballpark doesn't matter so much with him. I mean, it would, obviously the ballpark is going to matter. What you said, it is about the ball, the numbers, the player isn't about the ballpark, but the numbers are about the ballpark. But to me, it doesn't really matter because everybody's got to play in the same park. But, you know, is he a number three hit? I would disagree completely, unless it's somebody, I guess the best example is somebody like Reggie Jackson, who hit a lot of home runs at the Oakland Coliseum. Not huge numbers, but they were very valuable because nobody hit home runs there.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm just saying, yeah, so the ballpark does have an effect, but it's a fairly rare effect where it will make, you know, somebody be from the third best, you know, hitter on the team to the sixth best hitter on the team.
Right.
Because everybody's affected by the ballpark.
Gotcha. So. Okay. And so he also said, I found something interesting, and it was just a little comment, but it was thought provoking in terms of the way he presented it, because I just assume runs are up, and we'll talk about that later on in the show. But he said, the ball is playing fair. And when I hear a hitter say something like that, you know, he said it's not jumping out and it's not, you know, it's not dead. I thought, okay, well, now we have to talk to a pitcher because this is a hitter saying it's fair, and you got to believe the pitchers are going to say, no, it's something different, or something must be causing run production to be up a little bit. If it is indeed up, I'm just assuming it is. I had that feeling that it was. I haven't done any research. We'll talk about it. But
your spidey sense is tingling, baby.
Better than a sharky sense. Ho ho.
Can we stay with baseball?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
For me, that was just something I didn't think about the ball. I was thinking about the talent level or guys being rushed up to this level because they're in need and that being the situation. And he brought up the ball. I thought that was pretty, actually.
Well, it has been interesting because I've seen as I get along a little later. I've seen so many players who we haven't seen producing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk about the Swallows a little bit now. I did talk with Logan Andrusek before he left the Jingu backyard area, and he later got four outs in that game on Wednesday to help him win. I think we were discussing bullpens, and he admitted it's a really different dynamic with the with the Swallows bullpen, of course, with Tony Barnett gone, and I don't think it's any worse than any other club. I think a lot of clubs, and we've been talking about it on and off here this year, this season. I don't think the Swallows are good sabermetrics wise, but they're functioning okay. But again, you know, the Swallows recorded back-to-back walk-off wins over the Tigers on Wednesday and Thursday, and you have to get good pitching at the back end to do that kind of thing. But it's all about the rotation, I'm thinking, is the Swallows most of their problems. They're still running Yoshihisa Naruse out there, and he's just not consistent, and he's really struggling against right-handed batters. Nagisa Arakaki, Patrick, you can hear me laughing already.
Yeah, I'm smiling, but I'm also laughing at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, they had the t-shirts for his record 100th wild pitch thing, even before they had the t-shirts ready before he even threw the ball. That's what tells, you know, that's how they saw that thing coming. Kyle Davies came back and had a start the other night, but that was kind of forgettable. Masanori Ishikawa, as NPB Reddit reminds us with faithful regularity on Twitter, that he's been off and on this season. He's a good start, bad start kind of a guy.
Well, that's has been his career.
Yep. And the rookie with the confusing name, Judy Hara, I like to call him Harajuku for...
Okay, just let's move on.
And he has been wobbly. I mean, I think they're going to keep him out there because he's got potential and he can work through the growing pains, but I think they just have to put him out there. So
why not? That
rotation just has holes and issues and baggage and all kinds of stuff that's going on. And that's the biggest problem I see. I think you're right with the defense. They've got a bunch of fast guys who play solid defense. In some areas, pretty good defense. They're walking like crazy. They're getting on base. They have speed. They score runs. It's just that they score two, they give up three.
Yep.
But even with all that said, as you mentioned early on, they're not that far under 500. As we look at the games today on Sunday, they're only four games under 500, and we're talking about a really hot BayStars team that's back at 500. That at one point was 11 games under 500, and you know, they're right there. Everybody's close. So I don't think it's a lost issue anywhere. I think something can right the ship. I just don't know what it is.
I think what's going to right the ship is what happened to right the ship last year is that they'll find other guys who, you know, they'll put out a help wanted sign in TOTA, where the minor league works, you know, pitching anybody wanted to, who can actually pitch.
Give me a 10 day.
Exactly.
No. And that's closer than Sendai.
Stop it, please. Just stop it.
You guys should see Jim's face.
I'm turning white here, and I'm white to begin with. I'm turning a whiter shade of pale.
Hashtag high heat.
When John turns white, we'll have a story. But it's just, I think they're just sort of like going, the manager, Mr. Monaka, is about as cool as they come. Mm-hmm. And I think he has a plan. He strikes me as somebody who has a plan. His coaching staff is very calm, and although they're fairly they're calm but excitable. How ridiculous is a thing to say like that? They can be agitated about individual performances and efforts, but overall they're very calm and calculating. And my guess is, you know, just wait for the Swallows. They're going to surprise you in the second half because they're going to sort of sort things out.
You know what I was thinking the other day is that the acquisition of Sakaguchi came as a result of the fact that they didn't get Shun Takayama in the draft like they thought they had. And because of that,
this happens every year with Yakult.
Manaka did the punching and they went to commercial, the punch to the air, and they went to commercial and came back and explained that he had misread the envelope and that they didn't get the draft pick for Shun Takayama, who's with the Tigers now. And so they went looking for outfield help via free agency and picked him up. And Sakaguchi's a guy, you know, I liked him early on when he was putting up some good numbers with Oryx. And then I got a good look at him and I thought, this guy is the kind of guy who's got a body like a C athlete, a C level athlete. You know, if you were to rate the physical attributes, he's not gifted physically, but he works really hard. And he has to work hard to stay in shape. And when I saw him at the, when he started to tail off in production, he didn't look like he was in good shape. And I don't know if that was because of injuries or whatever it was, but he didn't look good. And now he's back to looking good physically and he's productive again. And I'm glad for him, but I'm just worried that he's got to stay in shape. He's got to avoid injuries. And he's, if he does that, he can be productive. And I know you can say that about everybody, but guys who are not gifted physically need to be able to work hard.
Well, his principal asset when he started playing was his plate discipline and his speed, mm-hmm. and his ability to, you know, absorb the lessons people were teaching him. And then as he was with Oryx for a while, you know, I mentioned, you know, speed to Terry Collins, and he looked at me like, are we talking about the same Sakaguchi?
Yeah.
So he applies himself. Yes. You know, and this is something that, you know, Terry, I think really, really appreciated. And I think which made him with Oryx. And the other thing is that when he started getting hurt a lot and Oryx kept trying out one outfielder after another, Sakaguchi became the team guy. He became the team leader. So, the last few years when Oryx would make a surprising run towards the end of the season, Sakaguchi might not even be playing, but he'd be the guy who was sort of like the cheerleader in the pregame warmups. And I asked him about that. I says, like, you're not even playing. What are you doing? He says, man, we're a team. And here's the thing. He left Oryx and he actually joined a team.
Yikes.
I mean, now he's with a team that actually, you know, cares about winning and losing.
You're mean. Yes.
I'm not mean.
You're accurate, but it's the presentation.
And so, you know, a team where if you apply yourself and you get results, it's more important than if you, you know, how you are on the team's political pecking order. So I think that's a good comment on your part.
All right, let's make a two-seam transition and talk about interleague. And this is where I want to address the run production issue. Mm. And I thought, am I right? Are runs up in both leagues, or is it just one league? Or is it just me?
It is just you. Now, tell me what was your premonition? Where did you get this? Where was your spidey sense tingling? Not too specifically, I hope, but.
I just saw a gap between the upper echelon pitchers. So mm-hmm. the Suganos, not Fujinami and Messenger, because they haven't really been getting the job done so much this year, but ace level pitchers and then other guys. And I thought the other guys were giving up a lot of runs, whereas the ace pitchers were still themselves. That's what I was looking at.
Well, Sugano's been more than himself. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the thing.
He's otherworldly, yes.
Yeah, he's just been pitching. He's been what I've noticed, and I think we're going to get to this later, is the people who've had who've been extremely effective this year mm-hmm. have been the guys who've located. And I'm not even talking about great command, although Sugano's combined that great location and great movement, especially on that slider.
Right.
That, when the Giants were playing the Swallows a couple of weeks ago, the Swallows hitters looked like they'd never seen a slider before.
Right.
And they were missing, you know, the end of the bat was missing the ball by like 5 inches.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been amazing. Yeah.
So we've got that. And then, a bunch of ordinary guys. So, anyway, good thing. Now, first of all, I have to apologize because I was thinking run production, and I've been so obsessed with a couple of, issues this year. And one of them has been the collision rule at home plate. We talked about that. And so when John said run production, my brain, such as it is, jumped to the conclusion that run production because of collision rule. Aha, there it comes. We've been talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, John asked me two questions. One is run production. Is it up? And then the another question, which he snuck in this little breaking pitch when he sent me his recommendations for the show. You know, is it different between the leagues? Aha. So that's two different questions. And the answer is yes, run production is up this year. Basically, runs are up about 11%.
11%. So that's not too much, but it is up. Up is up.
Yeah.
So I'm right.
NPB through Saturday's games. Up is indeed up. And how up is up is NPB through May 27th of 2015, was scoring 3.7 runs per game, mm-hmm. per nine innings, I should say. And this year they're scoring four, they were scoring 4.14.
Okay.
That's a 11.4 something percent increase. Okay. Now the question, of course, which I wanted to know was, where is this coming from? And the answer is home runs.
Well, I thought that too, but I couldn't say for sure, especially because we went almost, what was it, in the Pacific League, we went through almost a week or something before anybody hit a home run. I'm exaggerating, but Daichi Suzuki of the Lotte Marines was the first player in the PL to hit a home run, and that came X number of days into the season. So I didn't assume it was home runs, but I thought so, and because a lot of guys who are making very mediocre pitches are getting punished.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yep, so basically home runs are up about 14%, walks are up a bit. So as for my question, is this because of the collision rule? I would say basically no. A small part of it probably is, but the biggest part of it is home runs. Now, the next question is, are the runs different? You know, so if we're looking at the ball, you would expect more or less – both leagues to be jumping on it, correct?
Right.
Now, in the Pacific League, runs are up about 7%. In the Central League, they're up about 16%.
16?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because basically the run scoring in the Central League is approaching – the home run hitting is approaching the norms for the Pacific League.
Wow.
Last spring was a dead zone for home runs in the Central League. 0.56 home runs per nine innings. And in the Central League last year was 7.6. Actually, home runs are down in the Pacific League this year, and they're way up in the Central League. So I don't think it's the ball.
Yeah.
It might just be as
pitching. Yeah.
bad pitching and – and the other theory, which I threw out there, which sort of is halfway between that, is and I think the absence of Kenta Maeda is felt. I think that's big because he was the most consistent pitcher in Japan. You know, once Yu Darvish left, the most consistent pitcher in Japan became Kenta Maeda. I mean, he was as consistent as Darvish, but at a slightly lower level.
Hmm.
So I think that has had a very tiny impact because he's only where, you know, we're talking 50 innings. But that's had an impact to some small degree. But I think the big thing is all these guys who hadn't been playing before who are suddenly in lineups.
Yeah.
In the Central League. And where did these guys come from is I think the big answer is – okay. Managerial changes has sort of unleashed a little more potential in the Central League. So,
all right. So as we bring this toward this discussion toward interleague, the session is going to start this year at the Pacific League Parks on Tuesday. And while Coco wasn't saying Yakult and the CL teams were just going to lay down and die and going to just try to survive, he did completely clean about the fact that the pitching is better in the Pacific League. So I'm not surprised, and that doesn't, I'm not saying that every night we're going to have the Pacific League team sweep all the games again, like it happened so many times last year, but I like the way Lotte is playing. The two-time defending Japan Series champion Hawks are also banging. They're just playing lights out, and it just doesn't seem fair to have little at this point, it's the Giants who are not doing so well against anybody, and to have to see them face teams like that, it just doesn't seem like it's going to be fair.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to comment something, and I guess I mentioned this before. The research I've done on interleague play in Japan is what I've seen is that the DH, you know, tends to help the Pacific League teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Central League teams generally don't have a guy who's just a big hitter who's not doing anything.
Right.
You know, who's not out there in the field anyway. So, you know, with the Central League teams is when they DH, you know, you might see you know, the reserve catcher out there or somebody.
Yeah, they just throw somebody into that spot. And then the Pacific League pitchers seem to hit better than we expect. So, yeah, it's always weird. So I'm going to go with Lotte to win the interleague session. It's just 18 games, and obviously I like what the Bay Stars have been doing recently. They're in the midst of a six-game winning streak. They're back to 500. They seem to have gotten things in control. They have a really good rotation, which we touched on last week.
I'll just go with the best team.
The Hawks.
Oh, I was about to say the Yakult Swallows, but I forget they're not in first place. They're only in first place, sixth level.
Hashtag.
So, no, I have to go with SoftBank. That's obvious. Now, another thing that struck me when I was thinking about the Interleague was how the Pacific League pitchers do in the Central League parks. And there's two things. One, in every environment you look at, the Pacific League pitchers give up more runs against Pacific League teams in the same environment than they do against Central League teams. They score more runs against Central League teams than they do against Pacific League teams in the same environments. Hmm. So, but one, you know, that dynamic shifts when the Pacific League teams are playing in Central League parks. And this is the interesting thing. Overall, it's the only place where the Central League has an advantage is that the Pacific League pitchers tend to give up more runs.
Mm-hmm.
Or how can I say this? The Central League teams tend to score more against the Pacific League teams in their home parks than they do against Central League teams.
Okay.
And what I'm thinking is this. If you're a Pacific League pitcher, you know, in the past playing in all these big parks, and now, you know, your game is this. Your game is, you know, let them hit fly balls. And then you go to Jingu and you go to Yokohama. Where it's not such a success. It's a, you know, you just don't have that adjustment to make.
And Tokyo Dome, yeah.
Yes. Well, they play a lot of games in Tokyo Dome, but again, and you know, and Kyocera Dome is a good ballpark, and they've brought in the fences in Sendai and in Fukuoka, so it's perhaps less relevant now. But that's one thing that has been, you know, the Central League's advantage is the small parks. Now, coupled with that, I have to add that the Central League team that has played better against this one Central League team that has played better against the Pacific League than it has its own league, and that's the Yakult Swallows.
Mm.
And who plays in the best home run park in Japan? Ah, the Yakult Swallows. Okay, so there we have that. That's my last comment about Interleague. But I think, yes, I think the Pacific League pitching is better. I think the Pacific League hitting is better, although with this run production, maybe the Central League, some of the young Central League guys will, you know, carry their weight this year.
Yeah. Just a note about the Swallows. Their highest finish in Interleague play was second. They did that in 2006 and 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And they've only finished last in interleague play once, and that was 2012.
Mm.
And here are some more fun facts about interleague from a site called Baseball King. And the Hawks have not only won the interleague sessions the most times with four, they've scored the most runs in interleague play.
Shocking.
The Bay Stars have finished last the most times with four, and the Carp three times.
Mm.
So between those teams, seven times last place in the Interleague. And then last year, the Carp were in first place in the Central League when Interleague started, but suffered a nine-game skid versus the Pacific League and really never recovered from that swoon. And we know they didn't make the playoffs. So, you know, I was tweeting with one of the Carp fans, and I said, well, they're going to have their annual beatdown in at the hands of the Pacific League. Remember the time they couldn't score runs?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what year that was, but
I'm going to say it was the first year Nomura was manager.
The year he goofed up the lineup card.
Yeah, everything was weird that year. I mean, I remember the one year when Marty Brown, before Interleague, I thought, man, this guy has been like hitting the bars too quickly in the morning. Nice. He said, we want to, you know, we're looking forward to facing Makun and Iwakuma and Darvish, and I'm going like, are you out of your skull?
But forward.
but that year the Carp, they were beating these guys. I'm going, that would have been 2008 or 2009, and it was just like, I was like, it was some sort of Not truth serum. He was seeing the future, baby. It was weird. he was a psychic.
Mm. All right, now making a four-seam transition, I want to talk about a couple of surprise players from each league. Mm. Guys I didn't think were going to be on the upside, but have been producing. And I just want to hit these real quick and move on. But in the Central League, I thought Shuichi Murata of the Yomiuri Giants has really surprised me. And I don't know what set a fire under him. Probably the fact that he was on the verge of having to give up his job to a second year player. And he's turned things around. He's as we hit into games today, he's played in 49 games and is batting .301. Mm. Which is very unlike him.
Yep.
And his 13 doubles have him tied for second in the league. I just think he's doing a really good job. The moment he went to Yomiuri, he straightened out his footwork and started playing better defense.
Yes.
So he's been valuable on that side, but he's just been a guy who looks like he should be on The Walking Dead and not as one of the main characters, if you know what I mean. So,
Hashtag high heat.
He's been pretty valuable. And then the next guy I thought, and I just didn't see this coming, and I don't know anybody who really did, which was Yuta Iwasada of the Hanshin Tigers, who has 9 starts so far, and his ERA is 0.88, and he's 3 strikeouts behind Sugano for the Central League lead. He pitched his first career shutout on Friday, did it at Tokyo Dome against the Giants, beating Sugano. I don't know what kind of message that was for him, or maybe a confidence builder it was for him, but that just a couple of amazing guys in the Central League. Who surprised you?
Well, I want to comment. I think those are both great. Those are great picks. And, my disappointment, Murata's career is pretty well known. He had the one, 2012 when in the second half, it's almost like somebody said, you know, if you put the ball in contact, you'll hit for average. And he went, you mean I can do that? And he hit 340 or 350 down the stretch and helped push the Giants to a pennant. And people were saying, Murata has returned to his old batting form. And my first thought was, huh? And he went back. No, he returned to his old batting form when he was hitting 250 the next season. And all those stories about how he recovered and he'd found something new all went out the window. So anyway, so that's my bit about Shuichi Murata. I like your picks. Iwasada, I hadn't thought about, but everybody who asked me what's up with Iwasada, I said, it's the changeup. And I think maybe he was watching, he was on the farm team last year and he was probably in a Western League game and he was watching Shunto Wakamatsu pitch and he's going, these guys, nobody's heard of this guy before. Mm-hmm. But he throws a changeup. Maybe I better go work on that one.
So, he kind of reminds me of who had a breakout season all of a sudden was the MVP, I believe, in 1999. And that was a Dragons lefty. Who kind of is similar, Shigeki Noguchi. He kind of reminds me of him, except Noguchi had this really killer slider.
Mm. Well, Shigeki Noguchi also had a penchant for sort of like doing weird stuff.
Uh-huh.
My best story about Shigeki Noguchi is 2 years before he was, he signed with the Giants as one of the most useless free agents in Japanese history. He was watching. He was going to a game and he said, Daisuke Matsuzaka threw 220 pitches yesterday in Koshien and I was inspired to go out and do better than him. I went, wow, that's what we need at a professional level. So anyway, that's that. I think in the Central League, my surprise is I'll have to go with Iwasada. I can't top him. I have 2 picks in the Central League for surprise position players. One is Fumihito Haraguchi.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is amazing. 6 years as an Ikusei player. He did have a couple of first team signings.
Right. Developmental player. Yeah.
Exactly. A developmental player. Ikusei in Japanese, which is nurturing player technically, but we call them developmental guys. And he was such a surprise that when he was signed to a regular NPB contract, they had no uniform ready for him. he was a farm guy and he had his standard issue Tigers home and road uniforms. and you know, with a weird, you know, three digits and so on. So they gave him his number on that uniform, but the day the two games he first appeared on the first team, the Tigers were using a special uniform, you know, like they were using a promotional uniform.
Right.
And they didn't have one for him. So for 2 days, he wore the uniform of the battery coach.
Nice.
So,
thanks, coach.
So exactly. Thanks, coach, indeed. So, and he's just been a revelation. And I talked to Tom O'Malley about him. So it's interesting stuff I think we'll hear about in as we go on. I think in a couple of weeks, we'll hear more about him. The other guy I want to pick is Tomohiro Abe of the Hiroshima Carp.
Yeah.
Who's let's see, in May he was he had a .407 on base percentage, a .566 slugging percentage, and he can play third base, which means that his usually you'll hear his name in the same sentence with Hector who?
Okay. What about in the Pacific League? Who do you have?
I was struggling in the Pacific League, I think, because the Central League, as I mentioned, has been easy because there's been this raft of guys who had never done anything before.
Mm.
So basically, you know, it's like, you know, pick one of many. But in the Pacific League, it's been quite a bit of surprise. I guess Keiho Soya, a guy I always liked.
Oh, yeah, of the Lotte Marines.
Of Lotte Marines has been a surprise that he's actually had playing time. I think, but I'd have to pick my surprise of the week, who is a Kenta Super Imamiya.
Imamiya, yeah, surprise.
He had two home runs this week. Yeah, I mean, what universe does that happen?
In the universe where they think they can get him out. My pick for the position player is Takumi Kuriyama of Seibu. And I know his career arc doesn't look that bad. It's not a negative thing, but he's really turned it on this year. I didn't think he was going to. I thought basically you'd have to poke him with a stick to see if he was alive this year.
Oh, that's mean.
And he's, I mean, obviously I thought we were going to see decline, and he's just been short of fantastic. Now, defensively, he's got his issues. He's got his problems. Can't really throw.
Yeah.
Can't catch a lot of balls, but he's not killing him. He's not hurting him. And he's third in the league in batting as we open play today on Sunday. He has won a few games for the Lions with some late clutch hits. And nearly, it seems like every home run he hits, you know, factors in the outcome of games. And he's only hit three. So.
Well, he's been, you know, if you ask me, what's different about him this year, he's always the same guy. He's always cheerful, always positive, always productive to his limits. But I think what's different this year is the hair.
Gotta be the hair.
He used to be curly.
Mars,
it's gotta be the hair. For a couple of seasons, he had like, I mean, okay, Takumi-san, I love you, but the curls, you know, I'm glad you got rid of him. He's got like normal hair now. It looks good on him, and he's playing well. So I'm sure it is the hair that's causing all this.
And then, as far as pitchers, I looked at some relievers and I looked at a lot of other guys, but the guy who stood out for me stood out the most for me is Hideki Wakui of the Lotte Marines. And I can't say that he's doing anything great, but he is keeping the team in the game. He is getting the outs that he makes pitches. It's like what pitchers like to say, I make my pitches when I need to. He's been able to do that. He's been able to keep, you know, the runs to a minimum, even though he's given up a lot of base runners. And I think he had a fantastic outing on Friday. He just happened to lose 1-0.
He just happened to have like a zillion guys on base. But,
well, again, if you don't care about sabermetrics and you just worry about the results and the outcome, then he's doing well. I mean, his ERA is a lot lower, about a half a run lower than it was last year. At the end of last year. So I mean, you know, you look at the results and close your eyes and squint or cover your face and peek through your fingers and look at the way he gets there.
Okay. I think he is a huge surprise. Not like he didn't pitch well last year, which he did, which was a bigger surprise because we pretty much gave him up for dead. In fact, several people picked Lotte last because he was their opening day pitcher. So, or at least condemned their team ERA to be last in the league. So, Wakui, what has been the difference this year is that one, his fastball command has been better. He's had a lot more life on his fastball this year than he has recently. And the other thing that's been outstanding has been his location. His breaking pitches, you know, they haven't been really good, but he's been throwing them where he wants them. And, you know, that's the answer to so many problems. If you can at least execute your location of your pitches. You know, if you know this pitch ain't going to work, but you know where it's going to go, it probably won't be going in the seats.
Okay. Again, I'm just saying, if you look at sabermetrics, you probably just want to close your eyes and run from the room. But if you look at the end result, he hasn't been bad. Okay.
The guys I had, the pitcher I had in the Pacific League I was thinking about was Kohei Arihara.
Yeah, I don't know that he's out of nowhere, but he has been surprising.
He is a surprise, and I'll tell you again, this is one of those media things that strikes me, is that I was at his Rookie of the Year press conference last year, and he said what everybody who didn't vote for him said, which is, I don't deserve this. And then he said what every player who wins an award says, I'll try to be worthy of this award. Now, normally what happens when an undeserving player or a player who doesn't really earn an award, you know, is Rookie of the Year or MVP or something, what we see is him regress to the norm. He performs the way you would expect. Now, he was a Rookie of the Year basically because the Fighters scored 10 runs a game when he pitched.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he won a lot of games.
Yeah.
That being said, they didn't do that in a few of the late games, and he pitched quite well and didn't win. But this year he has done exactly what he said, which is he has basically pitched very well. And on the other side of the ledger, they've given him more run support than they have, say, Shohei Ohtani. Mm. And he's done really well. So, yeah, good for that stuff.
All right. As we try to do sometimes, we want to talk about the May MVPs. And my two picks for the Central League, Kenta Ishida of the Bay Stars or Shota Imanaga of the Bay Stars. And I will give special recognition to Shinji Tajima of the Dragons, who has posted 29 consecutive scoreless outings streak to start the season. And that's an MPB record. And I think he might get some votes for that. And then Tetsuto Yamada all day, every day.
Okay. My guy for the hitter of the month is a catcher, and he's going to be the surprise guy. And I think it's going to be Fumihito Haraguchi.
Wow. Surprise guy. It would be a surprise, I think. Yeah. I do think it would be a surprise, but.
Well, he's now leading, he has the highest OPS in the Central League in May.
Uh huh.
He's got five home runs. I mean, he's even if you throw out the fact that he's a catcher. And here's the thing: he's batting .403. You know what happens when you bat 400?
Oh, that's right, 400. Yeah, the magic number. Right.
So if he's still batting 400 in a couple of days, he will be the monthly MVP. So you can take that one to the bank.
All right,
Kenta Ishida. Yeah,
you got
I got him. You know, 4-0, 0.33 ERA. Relievers, records, get out of here.
I said special recognition.
Okay, yeah, you get the
thank you very much for playing. We have some lovely parting gifts for you.
That's right. You get a gummy bear. but basically, the awards are hitter of the month and starting pitcher of the month.
Okay. And in the Pacific League, I've got Brandon Leard of Nippon Ham, and I've got Shota Takeda, the pitcher for the SoftBank Hawks.
Yeah, ditto that. Interesting one in the Pacific League. Brandon Laird, here's again, eye-popping numbers, 10 home runs. Bingo, you're in. But Yuki Inagita is probably the best player.
Yep.
So, but I think it'll go with, a month's supply of sushi in Sapporo.
All right, let's go to fielding questions. Okay, the first one this week comes from Stuart Miller, and he says, how would you rank all the ballparks in MPB for the best viewing experience? Hashtag high heat. Ugh. This is such a tough one, and we get this one, I guess, once every 2 years now, because we've gotten it. I think this is the third time we've gotten it. So, as I said before on the show, I don't normally go to the parks as a fan. In fact, I think I've only been to about a little more than half of the parks as a fan. But I can tell you this, I really want to go to Mazda Zoom Zoom Stadium to see a game there. And I haven't been there yet. And I just saw on TV the other day that I was watching one of the games, and they showed that there's a workout facility, and there are a bunch of treadmills set up so that the people who are jogging can see the game.
Wow.
I just want to go to that stadium real bad. I want to go. I think that would be a great experience, but I haven't been there. I love Nagoya Dome, of course. I think it's the most attractive of all the domes, stadiums in Japan. I think Sapporo Dome is beautiful too, but I just like Nagoya Dome more. But and it's mostly like, it's probably the park that most resembles a major league facility. I've been to Kobo Stadium, Miyagi, as a fan, and it's another fun place to be. And any place with short fences in the outfield where you can, you know, any seat is good. I think Yokohama Stadium is really quaint. It's really nice, but it has that high fence, and so sometimes you can't see what's going on if you're sitting in the outfield. So I don't like places like that. I think Jingu is a really good place to see a game.
Okay, I can't really rate them all. I've never been to Mazda Stadium, although I do want to go because I want to see the food stalls.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're sort of famous because they have the carp noodles.
Carp noodles.
Which are, you know, there's a big sign over the carp noodle stand, and it's called with a capital C, and then they use the word for noodles, which is men. Okay. No, I would like to go to Mazda Stadium. I've only seen it from outside. I'm actually a fan of Yokohama Stadium. Now, you know, you may not like the high fences, and I know scouts don't like it because once every five games, you'll miss a guy going after a pop-up. Okay. But if you're sitting in the outfield, now I haven't sat in the outfield stands, but I can tell you if you're sitting high up near the rim of the stadium, pretty much anywhere, you feel like you're right in the infield.
Yeah.
It's the sight lines are easily the best in NPB. Now, if they put if they do what they're talking about, which is put in natural grass, great. If Jingu had natural grass, it would be the best park in the world. Jingu's got terrible sight lines. There are places where you can barely see home plate. But I like, you know, the atmosphere is great. Yafuoka Dome has a great atmosphere. I love Sendai. What I want to do is go to Fukuoka to see it when the roof is open, right, which I've never seen.
Rarely is, yeah.
Yeah. And, Koshien's wonderful. I mean, Koshien's just, it's a throwback stadium, and it's a clean throwback stadium now, as Jingu is. Of course, they cleaned it up just so they can knock it down, so.
Yeah. I have been to Koshien as a fan, and it does, but it has those, if you could imagine, the Fenway Park columns that are sometimes in the way. So if you happen to be sitting near one of those columns, you can't see.
Okay. So
that's a problem. But other than that, I mean, very small. I like Koshien also as a park, as a fan. But
are there parks you don't like?
As a fan?
Mm.
I think Sapporo Dome just would be too, I'd be too far away from all the action as a fan. Plus, it's another place where if you're sitting in the outfield with that high fence, you can't see if the ball's off the wall or over the fence a lot of times. It's just really hard. And I mean, that happens too at Nagoya Dome, but they do have that little back, drop with a black sheet or black tarp back there so that there's a gap between the actual seats and the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So they can tell if the ball actually went over the fence, and fans can't reach over.
Mm.
And because of that, it's difficult to see, again, if the ball has gone off the wall or if it's gone over, if you're sitting in the outfield stands. And that's what I'm thinking about. I mean, Seibu Dome, if it weren't for the weather conditions, you know, when it's cold, it's much colder inside the dome, and when it's hot, it's much hotter inside the dome. If it weren't for that, I would say that that's probably one of the best places to go and watch a game. So if the weather conditions are great, then that is a good spot.
Yeah, I'd throw in Hotomoto Field in Kobe. It's an absolutely gorgeous ballpark. Of course, it's like Seibu. It's at the end of the world.
Right.
Chiba's got a great atmosphere, largely because of the Marines fans. No parks I really hate, other than, like I said, hate getting there to some of them.
All right, and then one more question we'll get to, and then the other one we'll have to hold over for next week. This is from British Carp Fan, and he says, is Brad Eldred's high level of hitting sustainable? Hashtag high heat. And my answer, of course, it's not. But what we can expect is for him to hit with power. And if he can stay healthy, and of course we talked to him on the show recently, and he talked about I talked about the problems he has physically. He said he's used to the way MPB pitchers are attacking him, and that's a big part of the battle. If you know what's coming, you can maybe get into the position to hit and deal with the pitches. It's still a challenge to succeed even if you have that information. But of course, if he does get hurt. If he does require some rest to get over his ailments, I think they have guys like Yuhei Matsuyama. He's one of my favorite guys. He can come in and sit in, get him some rest, and perhaps that will lead to him having sustained or prolonged production over the course of the season. But I think, no, we can't expect him to be hitting in the high 300s. when the season's over.
Well, I'm gonna sneak in a comment here. I think your comments are spot on. I think is he gonna hit for average? No. It's just a weird thing. It's out of context with everything to see him hitting for a high average. The home runs are normal, and the comment about his use is, I think, very interesting, because it's one of the things the Carp have changed this year. You know, they've changed their coaching alignments around, and their offense has recovered. Their defense coach their defensive coach is their batting coach, and they've improved. Their defense has improved, gone back to the way it was. Their offense is better than it was before. A lot of things have changed. And here's another thing that has changed with the Carp. Although I think manager Koichi Ogata did carry this over from before, is they used a lot of players when they could. Is that, I know Eldred, as you said, you reported, has leg issues.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've noticed is that he's had a lot of days off on turf fields. He's been playing.
I noticed that too. Yeah.
Yeah, he's playing when they play Koshien and Hiroshima. He's there every game, but on the other turf outfields, it's been fairly selective. So yeah. I think they're picking the ones that are easier on his body, which for me, a lot of the things Ogata has done with his staff and his organization this year indicates he's made some real progress.
Mm. All right. Anyone else that has a question, send them by email to yakyujohn@gmail.com. You can tweet us at #highheat at JBW Podcast, or you can go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment there. Look for us on iTunes. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball.
Thanks for listening.